Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
We struck a historic deal with respect to the Murray-Darling Basin Plan with the opposition, and proud to say that part of that deal was to include our Indigenous communities to ensure that they share in terms of the economic benefits as well as the cultural benefits that should come out of the Murray-Darling Basin. So what we've been able to achieve is a $40 million deal over 4 years for Aboriginal communities to access cultural and economic water entitlements, to be able to make any use of those for cultural purposes or for economic in terms of trading the water on the market. But what we want to do is allow those Indigenous communities to decide, not Canberra. We want to go out and consult with them and let them tell us what the projects are and what it looks like for them so that they benefit from this historic deal.
And can you talk about where the funding's coming from?
It's coming from an existing fund within the Murray-Darling Basin, and it was one of the factors that both Tony Burke and I had some concern around was the engagement of our Indigenous communities in the Total Basin, and it was by consensus that we wanted to enrich that, and by coming up with this deal we were able to take out an existing funding base within the Murray-Darling Basin.
So there's been some discussion and debate regarding water recovery targets. Can you talk a bit more about the stance on that now?
Well, look, we now have the Murray-Darling Basin Plan that was passed in 2012. It was accepted by both sides of the House and was accepted by all basin states. All I've done is be able to get agreement to continue on that journey. So we're looking to recover 2,750 gigalitres and there's an additional 450 in terms of upwater in the Southern Basin that has economic and social neutrality tests. So it can't be recovered unless there is a test of economic neutrality.
Where does the water come from? There isn't obviously going to be an endless supply of it, so how does it get moved around?
Through buybacks, which we've gone to the marketplace and recovered, purchased around 1,200 gigalitres. The rest is being recovered through efficiency measures. So we've invested $8 billion with respect to projects to build efficiencies, to streamline pipelines and waterways, to get better efficiency of the use of the water. So we're using technology to return more water back to the environment and back to Indigenous communities for cultural water. And I've also asked the Commonwealth Waterholder to start to look at how those environmental flows interact with our Indigenous communities for their cultural purposes. And I think that's important. And I've got traditional owners in my own electorate that are impacted by this, and it's important to them. They want to have that cultural aspect added to it, and I'm encouraged by the Commonwealth Waterholder's move to make a study into this, and they'll continue to work with Indigenous communities over the next couple of years.
Yeah, and when you're talking about cultural flows, I've interviewed people from communities around Brewarrina and also Wilcannia, and in some areas in Wilcannia there's absolutely no water in the Darling, which is causing quite a lot of distress for communities. Will they be included in the conversation about how they can be some form of restoration for the water there?
Definitely, and I was heartened by the new Commonwealth Waterholder Commissioner who is engaging with Indigenous communities, and I'm in Queensland, and I know my communities in St George and Cunnamulla in particularly want to have that connection to country with environmental flows that actually interact with the cultural flows that are required to allow the preservation of this very precious culture.
Yeah, when you talk about that, because families are also saying, well, we've got no water left where we were born or where our nanas were born. We can't show our kids how to fish anymore. We can't go to that site because it actually makes them actually feel physically sick because there's nothing left. And so when you talk about disparity, how can that be fixed when some areas, or even when you look at some of the actual farms that have got more waters in their farm that they can access, and actually someone who lives down in the Darling River there that where there's no water at all?
Yeah, well, and that's why we're working with the states. The Commonwealth doesn't have control over the resource. We have to work with the states. The states own the resource. So that's my role is really a facilitation one that brings the states together and asks them to take into account the environment and those cultural flows. And that's what the Commonwealth Waterholder, who owns the water that we as the Commonwealth have purchased back from those individual states, to be able to make sure that we're getting the right flows up and down the river. But the $40 million goes beyond that to also empower Indigenous communities to make sure they share in any economic benefits that can come out of the water.
Since the investigation, or the paper was handed down last year by Ken Matthews on the independent investigation into New South Wales water management and compliance, what kind of monitoring has there been regarding irrigators being compliant on the amount of water that's being pumped from the Murray-Darling Basin?
Yeah, well, look, I have to congratulate the New South Wales government, because they could have walked away. They could have blown the whole plan up, but they didn't. They shouldered their responsibility, then they took it head on, and Noel Blair did that, and I congratulate him for that. He could have taken the easy route and gone the other way, but what he's done is made sure that out of the Matthews review, he's appointed Craig Knowles as the now regulator to ensure that compliance is not only maintained but is bolstered. And we're going to be working with the New South Wales government in particular, because they've been quite proactive around more measures around metering and hydrologic flows. How do we use satellites to make sure that we can monitor that there is integrity in the system? Compliance is important. No one should fear compliance if they're doing the right thing. But if you do the wrong thing, you've got to get found out and you've got to swing for it. And I know Craig Knowles will do the job for Noel Blair. I'm confident that they'll get the compliance piece right. I know in Queensland, in my part of the world, we're making some inroads, and I congratulate the Queensland government up there. We've still got some work to do, but everyone that says that our irrigators at the moment say it's a good thing that we've got compliance, because those that are doing the wrong thing are taking it away from everybody. We're only asking what's fair and what's right for both farmers, the environment, and our Indigenous Australians.
This was an NITV radio podcast. For more, visit sbs.com.au/NITV radio or download the SBS radio app.